Ooh, boy. Not the way you want to end that kind of game. My God. An unbelievable way, truly unbelievable way for the Jays to lose a game. And yet, based on everything we have seen at different points this season, incredibly, utterly believable. A terrific start from Yusei Kikuchi, in which he sets a career high in strikeouts. Man, he was good tonight. Nate Pearson, of all people, walking that tightrope to keep the hope alive. And the Jays, the dagger is buried on, of all plays, a wild pitch to score a runner from third. 4-3, the Blue Jays lose to the Giants to start this three-game set in San Francisco. Trevor Richards blowing the save. First with a Brett Wisely RBI single just past the dive of Leo Jimenez, and then the wild pitch ending it. Ooh, that's an ugly, ugly way to lose this and to snap the winning streak and to start off this series. Again, a 4-3 loss for the Blue Jays. Show Ali with you. You're listening to Jays Talk live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're also streaming on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. Give us a call if you're still awake. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. You can text us as well, 590-590, name and location. The people's text line is always open. So first of all, look, before we get to the bullpen, because obviously we've got to talk about Trevor Richards, given that we saw Pearson and Richards, I have to think, because I see a text here on the text line from Q from Winnipeg. Where is your $10 million closer, Chad Green? Why Trevor Richards in a one-run game? Blue Jays overthinking again. I have to think, and I suppose we'll hear John Schneider say this, but you got to think Chad Green was simply down after the Seattle series, right? Like, that's the only explanation, because otherwise I would agree with Q. I would say, okay, well, that's why no Chad Green? But I can only think that he threw 27 pitches on Saturday in that 5-4 winning in Seattle. Another 5-4 win on Sunday. He threw 22 pitches, which was actually the third day in his last four that he had thrown. So there was an off day yesterday, and I kind of thought after the off day, it would have been all right for him to go, given that he threw just 10 pitches in the first of those 3-4 outings for Green. That was on the 4th of July. He pitched on the 4th, did not pitch on the 5th, pitched on the 6th and 7th, right? So I kind of thought it would have been okay, but that's got to be the only explanation. Like, we didn't even see him warm up. So that has got to be the explanation, that he just pitched a ton in the last couple of days, and even the off day wasn't enough to reset him necessarily, but that's brutal. I mean, otherwise, you know, I think it's a valid question from Q, but if he's not available, then he's not available. That is what it is. But gosh, we saw Brandon Little warm up briefly. We ultimately got the other guy currently in the circle of trust, question mark, but that's Trevor Richards. The changeup looked pretty good. Pretty phenomenal, I thought, early on. Locating pretty well. The fastball looked like it had some life, but gosh, he threw some really hittable pitches. Like, when he has better stuff in his arsenal to the guys that got on base, and to Tyler Fitzgerald, and I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses for him, because you guys know I'm a fan of Trevor Richards, but Tyler Fitzgerald comes on, two outs at that point when he's up at the dish in the bottom of the ninth. And Fitzgerald was ultimately walked. Richards was ahead in the count, 1-2, and throws a changeup right at the bottom of the zone, like right on the edge of the zone. And right at the bottom there, Malachi Moore had been calling it a strike all game long. He'd been calling that a strike for on both sides. It was a little annoying, because I think there were some pitches that were way below the zone, including, I think we just seen, like, what, 15, 20 minutes earlier, Bo Bichette get rung up on. That pitch was well below where Richards threw that pitch, and he got rung up, clearly did not like it. I kind of agreed, didn't think it was a strike, but his zone for the entire game was a little bit lower than that, like, little digital strike box you see on TV, but he calls it a ball. I thought he had it there. I gotta say, I thought Richards had just ended the game. I thought the game was over. He preserved a 3-2 win, gets the save, game over. He was called a ball. And ultimately, I suppose it doesn't matter. I guess it really doesn't matter. But that's a real tough way for it to end, given that to start that outing, I thought Richards looked all right. But that's just another state, another repudiation, another indictment, I suppose, of where the Blue Jays bullpen is right now, that you got to send Richards out in that situation and into save situations that which he's not necessarily used to. You couldn't use Chad Green, so you basically have nobody else. That's a tough spot. 416-870-0590. 1-888-660-590, star 590 on your cell. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Gary in Vancouver. Gary, what's up?
Hi, Joe. I watched the whole game.
I'm sorry that you did, Gary.
Yeah, I'm sorry too. I'm a Blue Jays fan from way back. If I was a Blue Jays fan right now, paying to see this, I don't care what you say. I don't care about the umpires. 13 strikeouts by Kikuchi, completely wasted because our lovely manager doesn't bring it. I don't care if the guy's throwing 30 pitches, but Chad Green should be the closer, and we blew it. And I tell you, I'm going to say this. You're going to be losing a lot of fans because we're not bad. We're awful. And it's the manager. It's the general manager. We need to clean house and get. And by the way, why wasn't Horwitz playing all the time? This kid can play, and he's. I'm sorry, I could bend all day, but I'm fed up with watching with Schneider. Horwitz should have been playing. We have this Jimenez playing. Are you kidding? Kiermaier's out there. Please, come on. Let's get with it. We're not running the ball, and we get three hits, and one is a home run. That's not good enough, and we wasted a 13 strikeouts by Kikuchi. He should be – I guarantee that when he goes down and gets himself – has a shower, he's going to be pulling his hair out because he should. We deserve to lose. We deserved it. I'm sorry, I'm venting, but we deserve this. You can't lose this way, but we did. And don't tell me about the umpiring. It was bad on both sides. But I liked your show, by the way. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for calling in. Fired up, Gary, tonight. Okay, so on the Horwitz, Kikuchi, yeah, I'm not by no means blaming it on the umpire, just to be clear. Like, I just thought that's where the game probably should have ended. But ultimately, Richards did not execute after that because, you know, it's not like the guy didn't have chances to execute. He absolutely could have struck out another batter, got a ground ball. It's a thing he does pretty well. And then he did not do it. And then he spikes the pitch and the game's over, right? So, like, it's not ideal. So don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to excuse what Richards did. But I think you can also point out that the umpiring was, like, not great. You know what I mean? Ultimately, on Horwitz, he should have been in the lineup to start this game. I got to say, when I saw him not in the lineup, when it came out, a couple hours before the game started on 7 Eastern, 7:30 Eastern, I didn't see Horwitz in there. And, of course, Blake Snell was on the mound, lefty, and all-lefty matchup for Kikuchi Snell tonight, which you don't often see, I guess, especially for starting pitchers of their caliber. But I thought to myself, okay, I get in my head why they're not putting Spencer Horwitz in here. Because he's on the mound, it's Blake Snell. But have we not done this enough this year? You know, like, have we not largely seen enough from Horwitz? Like, I know for the most part, he is generally speaking still quite young in terms of being a major leaguer. But I mean, you see him play, and he just clearly gives the Jays the most mature ABs. Like, probably right next to Vladdy. Honestly, maybe even more than Vladdy. Truly, like, he probably does. Vladdy, IKF gives you a pretty mature AB. He's on the IL, so a little bit of a moot point, I suppose. But Spencer Horwitz, like, if you believe this season is indeed lost, then should you not just be playing the young guys every single day? And sure, if, like, Ernie Clement struggles against lefties, then do you put him in there? Probably you shouldn't, right? I mean, it's a bad example because Ernie Clement hit a 3-run jack today. But my point being is if there are other guys who don't give you what Spencer Horwitz is giving you, then I can kind of understand playing the splits a little bit. But Horwitz, who by hook or by crook gets on base, it just doesn't. It's like that scene from Moneyball. It's like when I point at you, I want you to say because he gets on base. That's Horowitz. He's like the guy. He's one of the guys from Moneyball. He always gets on base from one way or another. And we even saw him go against Framber Valdez. I've made this point a couple times on the postgame show, but wasn't expecting it. Gets on base against Valdez a whole bunch of times. Just let him play. Just let him get in there. Right? I actually know the Clement home run made it more moot, but seeing Horowitz immediately get taken out for Kiermaier was also somewhat strange because, and again, the home run made this conversation a bit irrelevant, but I thought it was kind of funny they did that because I suppose one bad decision should not necessarily compound another, but like in the past, we've done on this show, we've talked about how the Jays roll the dice with like Vogelbach on the base paths or Kirk on the base paths, and then immediately they take out Horowitz. Like in theory, they could have rolled the dice with Horowitz for one half inning and then moved Horowitz to second base. Kiermaier comes in for, let's say, Jimenez, who had not yet played or batted, I guess, in that inning, right? Like you could have easily done that. I don't know. It just seemed like kind of a bizarre choice to like take him out immediately. I don't know. Maybe I'm way off base on that, but it almost feels like they overthink whatever they do with Spencer Horowitz. And given that he is like unironically been maybe the team's best hitter, maybe the team's at worst their second or third best hitter, even though he wasn't called up to start the year, it's just bizarre. They just keep like kind of, it's almost like they nickel and dime what they do with him and not for other people. It's just the strangest thing. I don't mean for this to be like the where you hang your hat on a day where he didn't play all that much and Richards blows it and the team still only scored 3 runs, all of which came off an Erdy Clement home run. There are other things to nitpick, certainly, but just a strange place to be. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's go to Guy in Maple. Guy, what's up?
Yeah, so you're bang on, and even the other caller, I was thinking the exact same things. I mean, completely asinine that Horowitz isn't in every single game. I mean, he's showing to give good at-bats against lefties. He's their best hitter since he's been called up. Yeah, Vlad and Springer, yeah, they're good, but Horowitz has been their most consistent. He runs up pitch counts even if he can't get on a base or can't get a base hit. Schneider's just a complete idiot. He is the worst manager in the history of this franchise. He's terrible, and it's frustration, and we're all sick of it because this guy is throwing one game a week. Our manager is costing us the game. I mean, listen, you have Richards as your closer. I mean, one thing that Richards does is he puts the ball in the dirt. And when you have a guy 90 feet away of the winning run, I was waiting for it to happen, and boom, it happened. I mean, he should have taken Richards out. He's had 5 bad outings out of his last 6. He's been struggling out of more than anyone in that bullpen over the last 2 weeks, and he puts him in as your closer. And I agree with the other caller. Yeah, regardless of if Chad Green, he pitched 24 pitches or whatever it was 2 days ago and 3 days ago, put him in there. He's your closer. He's got strikeout stuff. Not that Richards doesn't, but he's not a fireballer. And tonight was a complete collapse. And I blame Schneider for this. And, the one good thing that came out of this game is that Kikuchi's stock has gone up as far as the trade deadline.
Yeah, that's true.
And, just a segue into what I wanted to ask you is, in the past, when we were buyers, it always seems that we had to trade our top prospect to get a mid-range pitcher. And now I'm hearing, we'll get a 7th or an 8th best prospect in someone else's, farm system. I think it's ridiculous. I don't think the Jays should make a move unless we get a top 3 guy for, a middle-type guy in your rotation. I just want to know your thoughts on that.
Hey, Guy, thanks for calling in, man. Always appreciate hearing from you. So on Kikuchi, who will continue, I'm sure we actually haven't talked about Kikuchi at all tonight, so we can continue talking about him. But the trade market for Kikuchi, I do think, because I feel like a lot of people, when you look at the trade market for a variety of players around Major League Baseball, obviously not just the Blue Jays, but and not just pitchers either, I should say, for position players as well, it does feel like in the past, like relatively speaking, you can get a pretty decent prospect for guys that I don't want to say you've never heard of, but I mean, if like Luis Arraez, for example, can net the Marlins a pair of really, really good prospects, then I don't know, you got to think that a pitcher in a year where pitching has been so critical for so many teams in terms of strikeouts being way up and offense being way down, specifically when I talk about this year in particular. But I kind of agree with Guy. Like there's no real reason. While I do think you should sell all the UFAs, I've been on that track for a while now. Just you gotta sell all the UFAs for you to feel like they're making any sort of progress. Considering that we know that with the MLB draft less than a week away, it seems particularly unlikely that they're gonna fire the GM in season. And then, you know, after that, if you're not doing it before the draft, and then you're not doing it before the trade deadline, which is, you know, in a couple of weeks, it's past midnight now here on the East Coast. So it's in 20 days from now, essentially. So if that's where you are, then you're probably not, I'm sure to most people's chagrin, like you're probably not changing the general manager ultimately. So having said all of that, even if Ross Atkins is the one pulling the trigger on these trades, you got to think that it's still going to be great to get a prospect for Kikuchi, as sad as it is, because like Kikuchi has been a lot of fun to watch. But ultimately, if you're not maximizing the value you get back for all of Kikuchi, for Jimmy Garcia, who we can talk about a little bit later on, there was an injury update on him if you haven't heard it, you know, on Danny Jansen, on Kiermaier and Turner, on all of these guys, then you're not doing the best thing possible to maximize value for this team. Let's go back to the phones. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's bring in Russ from New Jersey. Russ, I know you have been on the trade Kikuchi, trade the UFAs, trade everyone market for quite some time.
Well, first of all, I'll say about Hurwitz, you know, you guys, you talk about Vogelbach. You said they had to find a way to get Vogelbach. You know, funny, no one's picked him up. He was a guy that we had to hit cleanup a couple of times, and no one's picked him up. But Hurwitz last week against Houston, you know, they and I don't know if this is, you know, people want to get, I keep saying another thing. First of all, you can't say fire the GM and the manager. You can't say they're both horrible. Either it's the chef is no good or the ingredients are no good, but it's usually not both. So
I guess it could be both, though. Like, it's possible it's both.
Yeah, but I think this GM has done just a horrible job, and I've said it a million times. But on Spencer Hurwitz, remember, he got a hit off Hader in the ninth inning, another lefty. So he had three hits last week. I don't know anymore who's calling the shots, who's in the lineup. We all don't know.
Yeah.
You know, after that Barrios thing last year, I know it was Atkins or it was somebody, you know, in the suits, but it wasn't Schneider. But the bottom line is, the callers are 100% right. You want to see him in the lineup, especially against lefties, because you want to see how he can do against lefties, and this is a year of learning. Now, I know you're not going to like what I say, but I've been a Blue Jay fan since Doug Alt and Dave McKay and Roy Howell forever, okay? Tonight was perfect. Why? They lost the game. I don't want them at the end of July to be five games out and they'll keep everybody and they'll say, well, we're really in this race, because they're not, okay? Kikuchi, like the caller said, had a great outing. And, you know, his stock value went up. And, yes, they should trade the UFAs because they're not really going anywhere. The third, like we keep saying, the third wild card's a little bit of a curse because you stay in there and you stay in and say, but maybe we can make it. Look what Arizona did last year. And look what Texas did. They won the World Series. They weren't even the last weekend of the season going into that last weekend. They didn't even know if they were going to make the playoffs. So, you know, everything is – I don't want them five games out of the wild card and telling me how they're going to make the playoffs because they're not. And it's a tough year, but I'm more on the general manager. I just don't. You know, I think the offense wasn't great last year. What were they, tied for 13th or 14th? And he said it was just a blip, you know, a blip on the screen. And no big deal. Well, our offense is good, and we found out the offense is worse than ever this year. So, you know, that's my thing. And I had a ticket to San Francisco tomorrow, but I just decided that Sunday I'm not going.
I was going to ask you, Russ. You're usually going to all these places, so no San Fran for you this year.
No, because you know what? I can't fit. I would have gone tomorrow morning and then flown back Thursday night after the game. I can't do a six-hour trip and my team is nine games under 500. It ain't going to work. So you know what? I'll watch the game. I'll be in Toronto in a week or 2 weeks to see some of the Tampa series. And, you know, we'll go from there. But it's just been a very, very tough season to watch this team.
Yeah. Hey, Russ, thanks for the call, man. As always, I don't disagree. It's been a tough season. That's absolutely true. Yeah. On the on Kikuchi, I mean, I think a lot of people are, I mean, we're getting a lot of texts actually on this as well. Kikuchi upping his trade value. You got to trade Kikuchi. He must be, there was another one here. Where is it? I was just reading it here. Matt from Halifax. Also, Matt, you're like even further east than we are. It must be even later for you than it is for me. But Matt in Halifax says, brutal way to end what should have probably been a win. Beauty of a game from Yusei. Horowitz should be in the game every day, hoping for a better finish tomorrow. There was another text here. Oh, it's also from Q in Winnipeg. I feel so bad for Yusei. Had a career night, won't even get to drink his Japanese whiskey. It's true. If you haven't seen that story about Yusei, he has the like very expensive Japanese whiskey that he busts out after wins. He certainly deserves to drink it after setting a career high in strikeouts, but that is tough. Yeah, there are a lot of texts here about trading Kikuchi, even though, you know, it would be sad. Actually, there's one that goes opposite to this. Claudio in King City says, extend Kikuchi, please. Why would we trade him unless the plan is to re-sign him as a free agent? Like, the only reason I'm on board with trading him is because he must be right this second. He's got to be the most valuable trade asset the team has, right? Like, if you're only counting the UFAs, if you're not counting Bassett and Gausman, for example, because they're expensive, but they're obviously still very good, so I'm sure you could trade them. But if you're only talking about the UFAs, he's got to be it. I mean, Jimmy Garcia, and he threw on Saturday an inning, 2 strikeouts, 10 pitches, 7 of which were strikes. He was slated to throw a rehab outing today, but it was pushed back to tomorrow because of a stiff neck. So I guess we like have to monitor that. But if he is okay and does pitch tomorrow, which is the plan, I guess I should say later today because it's after midnight here on the East Coast, but he's supposed to pitch on Wednesday. And if he does pitch and he pitches okay, you got to imagine he's going to be up there and back with the major league team relatively soon. But if it's not Jimmy, I mean, like, are you really getting major prospects to Gee's point for like Kiermaier or Turner? Probably not. I would guess. Like, I don't mean to slag the guys, but Kikuchi is a younger guy. He is proven he's a bit of a big game pitcher. He's turned around the issues that plagued him a couple of years ago. He's been phenomenal, right? 7 1/3, 6 hits, 2 runs, which were earned, no walks, which is something I didn't think 2 years ago. I didn't think we would say that. 2 walks, 13 strikeouts on exactly 100 pitches, 70 strikes. He was dealing tonight. Like, he was absolutely dealing. He filled up the strike zone. He got great extension down the mound. He was finishing well. He doubled up on the fastball. He threw it a whole hell of a lot. He kept that going throughout the evening. And yeah, I mean, did he run into a little bit of trouble at times? Sure, no one's perfect. The location of the fastball did not work for him on the Elliot Ramos home run, but you know, maybe I excuse a little bit because Ramos is one of the hottest hitters in all of baseball right now and got an all-star berth as deserved. He did not miss on that 0-2 fastball. He throws Ramos a changeup in the next AB, which I guess Chris was talking about this during the game, but how it looks like a fastball out of the hand but then moves very differently. That's been pretty effective for him at times in certain spots this season. Like, he just was phenomenal. Right, he ran into some trouble in the fifth as well. Runners in the corners with no outs. More strikeouts for Yusei. The crazy thing is, unless any of these guys are abjectly terrible in an outing, like they get absolutely crushed, cratered, I'm not even really sure it is worth it. And I like to do this, but I'm not even sure it is worth it to litigate how they do on a pitch-by-pitch basis, because ultimately he got let down by the offense once again. It's just something, it just feels like we've talked about this a billion times this season, right? And again, I did think Ernie Clement let him off the hook this, you know, later in the game, but ultimately the bullpen did not, which is tough when you basically need all three things to go exactly perfectly right for you. And one thing just doesn't, and that's the reason you lose. It's just, gosh, the margins are so thin with this team. It's just, it's really tough. 416-870-0590-1888-666-0590-*590 on your cell. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll go back to the phone lines and go back to the text line as well. Jays Talk here until the top of the hour. Show Alley with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chad Green. You're listening to Toronto Blue Jays Baseball on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I was brought up in the front row,
that fire and brimstone. He was probably the best, if not the best, one of the best outings he's had with us. Started with his fastball, and he was great to him.
What's he showing you in those spots?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just comes with success, comes with reps, comes with confidence, and sticking to his game plan. Homers, they happen. Two solo homers in a big league game when you go into the eighth inning, usually a little bit better outcome. But he's done really well with kind of turning the page and onto the next pitch. Just really, really good outing.
That is John Schneider discussing Yusei Kikuchi and his 13 strikeouts, allowed 2 earned runs, but the Blue Jays do lose 4-3 in the end. You're listening to Jays Talk Show. Ali with you until the top of the hour here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. By the way, we had the Chad Green rejoin. I know the rotators, as they're called, are completely random. If you're curious, they're completely random. They're like basically the way it works is they're all like in a big bucket, and they just like the computer just cycles through them. There's no way for us to know, but like the computer's taunting us playing that Chad Green rejoin, right? Like the computer knows, right, Tom? Like, come on. It's not great. Anyways, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell, the numbers for you to call. Let's go back to the phones. Before we go back to the text line, let's get to Adam in Thornhill. Adam, you're always up late. Are you still driving around this time, Adam?
I am still driving around. It's a ritual. It's what I do for the Jays talk afterwards. I jump in the car and I go have a cup of coffee or tea and listen to Show Ali lay it all out. Couple of things. First of all, what Russ in New Jersey said, totally agree with everything. What Guy Guy in Woodbridge said, or Guy in Maple, I agree with what he said. The only thing is not all farm systems are built the same. So if you're trading Kikuchi, I'd rather get the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th prospect from Baltimore than, say, the second prospect from Houston, because the systems aren't the same. But to Guy's point, the delicate genius general manager traded Jay Happ, coming off a Cy Young finalist season, to the Yankees for Billy McKinney and Brandon Drury spare parts. I think that was either 2018 and 19. So He's absolutely right. We got to recoup assets for not just the pending free agents, but if we move Bassett and Gausman as well. One thing I wanted to say, and I'm sorry, Show, I love you, buddy, but you mentioned the other night that if you were in the captain's chair, if you were in the big chair, you'd re-sign Vladdy for somewhere around what Matt Olson got at 8 years and $160 million. I have to tell you, you unfortunately are just way off the mark. Okay?
Too little? Too little?
Way too little.
All right.
Okay, Vladdy is going to get $400 million in free agency. Ooh. And I say that not because I'm have any kind of inside information or anything like that. You certainly have much more connections than I do. Why I'm saying that is that all you have to do is look at the tea leaves. So quickly, let me unpack it for you. He just turned 25. He's already been a finalist for MVP. He's a four-time All-Star. He's going to be between 900 and 1,000 hits before his age 25 season. It's about the age. He's posted every day. He's not been injury prone. And even if you, quote unquote, his down year at age 24 was 26 home runs and 94 RBIs. So you got to figure, if you're paying George Springer through age 36, you got to pay Vladdy at least through that. So off the bat, that's 11 years. And I'm saying you're probably going to have to pay until 37, 38, like most superstars. Okay, most superstars get paid till they're 40. Bryce Harper, Ohtani, Judge, everybody. So if you can get him till 38, that's a 13-year deal. He's already making $20 million in ARB3, which means he's going to make probably $25-26 in ARB4 next year, in his final year of arbitration. So you got to figure it's somewhere around 13 years, 12 or 13 years at $30 million a year. That's the minimum. So if you can get him for $360, you're laughing. You run and do it now. But I'm telling you, it's going to be closer to $400 million. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Adam, thanks for the call. I always appreciate it. Always pretty informed. I got to say, like, if Vladdy is asking for $400 million, that is the reason why he does not have a contract right now. Like that, I only say, I'm not making fun of the point. It's just, there's no first baseman in Major League Baseball who makes that amount of money. And I know what you mean. Like, you're talking about the age thing. The age thing is a big difference, right? Matt Olson signed his deal 8 years, $168 million when he was 27. So he was 2 years older. And, I think he has had very, very good years, certainly in Oakland, but he's had pretty good years for the Braves, which is why they locked him up, right? But, I mean, you look at the guys who are making more money either per year or just overall value-wise in Major League Baseball, just across baseball, generally speaking. So Olson is making 168 over 8 years, but he's making $21 million. So I think we can agree Vladdy's not going to make $21 million. Freddie Freeman obviously signed this deal when he's a little bit older. He signed that deal when he was 32 in 2022. He's making $27 million a year. Paul Goldschmidt, also older, right, signed this year in 2020. He's also 32 when he signed it, $26 million a year. So like, I think that's clearly the benchmark, is like $25 to $27 million a year. So let's assume what Adam is saying is correct. So I think the guy who's making the gargantuan amount of money is Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper signed that deal when he was 26. Bryce Harper signed for 13 years and $330 million is how much Bryce Harper signed for. I think the difference is also that Bryce Harper signed, if I remember correctly, he signed it. He was an outfielder when he signed that deal. I think he was in right. He was a right fielder or whatever when he signed that deal. And then he recently, like quote unquote, relatively recently moved to first base. I gotta say, I don't think Vladdy gets anywhere near what Bryce Harper's getting because of what Bryce Harper was playing when he got there. But you know what? Let's assume you do want to sign Vladdy for a major long term deal and that he should get $25 million. Well, if you're signing him to an 11-year deal to keep him a Blue Jay until he's 36, he's 25 right now, and you sign him now, that would be $275 million, which would be basically the most expensive first baseman in baseball for everyone not named Bryce Harper, right? So I think for that reason, positionally, just from a first baseman perspective, so I think all the stuff Adam said about age is certainly not incorrect. I think you do have to pay up a little bit because we don't get to see very good players, star players, whatever you want to call Vladdy. We don't see them become free agents this young, mainly because most of these guys don't get called up as young as Bo and Vladdy did, right? So I think that's certainly a big part of it. But I just, 400 mil, woo, baby. There's no way he's getting $400 million. Like, I could see a world in which you give Vladdy a deal similar to what Julio Rodriguez got, which was pretty high dollar value. But I think the difference with Julio Rodriguez is that there was a ton of, like, that deal was, if I remember correctly, was worth not a lot, generally speaking, but ultimately, I mean, not a lot is still like $250 million or whatever it is, right? But then it had tons of incentives, which meant it could be worth up to like $300 million or $350 million or $400 million, whatever it is, depending on the benchmarks he hits, which, again, you hope Vladdy hits, for example. And as Adam pointed out, he is also certainly, you know, he's been a finalist for MVP and he has hit so many home runs before, but it's just, I don't know. That's got, I mean, if that's what he's asking for, that's got to be the reason he doesn't have a contract. All right, because I mean, otherwise, there's like no way the Blue Jays are going to give him $400 million. I would genuinely be surprised. Let's go to the text line 590-590, name and location. Let's see, Lee in Guelph. Trade everyone on expiring contracts. Make Horwitz and Barger regular starters. Make another run at it next year. You know, I mean, I'm with you on Horwitz, but Barger, I'm honestly not convinced he is an everyday major leaguer. He hits the ball really hard. Is yoked as hell. Plays pretty well in the outfield, but I don't know. He does, when he struggles, it doesn't look like a major leaguer. And I say that's someone who actually, I want him to succeed because I do think he is talented, but like, I wonder if he'll get beyond that level of quadruple A player, quote unquote, which is, to be fair, like hand up. I think we all thought certainly last year there was a chance that that's what Horwitz was, and he's clearly not, right? So that, I'm not saying the road is over for Barger. He's still pretty young, but I'm not sure Barger should be a regular starter. But then again, maybe that conversation hinges on how well George Springer is playing. Jeff in Vancouver says, I don't want Atkins to be responsible for hiring a new manager. Leave Schneider until Atkins gets replaced, then allow them to pick the next manager. That does seem pretty prudent, I would agree, Jeff. Ultimately, I mean, you look at this regime and they came in and they hired, let's see, they dismissed initially Gibby, right? John Gibbons was told goodbye. They give Charlie Montoyo the reins. And I think we all agreed, even when Montoyo was hired, that he was viewed as like a bridge manager for the young guys before the competitive window opened. And then the competitive window opened before everyone even realized it, essentially. And they obviously did not make the playoffs in 2021. And then it got to a point where they couldn't really ignore it anymore. You give John Schneider the job, but you're right. I mean, if you let them say goodbye to John Schneider as well, and you've now dismissed three GMs in what, 9 years? I've said this many times, but there aren't very many successful franchises that do that. You know what I mean? Like it's only if you are winning tons of games and tons of World Series. And I know the Blue Jays were hovering around 90 wins. And, you know, there was a lot of time out in the wilderness for this franchise, even before 2015. So there was some success by this group. But if you're hiring another fourth manager at some point, I mean, that does not reflect well, I think, on most people. Tim from Hamilton. We'll end on this one. Tim says, I hope Yusei has an even more expensive bottle of whiskey for when he throws a gem, but his team screws it up. That's pretty funny, actually, Tim. Maybe he does. Who knows? Kikuchi pitched so well today. By the way, that Ernie Clement home run in the seventh, righties had been hitting 109 in two strike counts against Ryan Walker coming into tonight. So a great swing from Clement. That was the kind of swing we saw going all the way back to the spring that made us all collectively say, that guy's a big leaguer. Just Ernie Clement's second career home run off a breaking ball ever, which is pretty wild, honestly. It's pretty incredible. Anyways, that does it for us here on Jays Talk. Appreciate you guys being with us on Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Kronos Control Centers in Timmins on Algonquin Boulevard and on Riverside Drive. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Kronoscount.com, Canada's number one rust protection. For Eric Smith, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Armin Zargarian, I'm Sho Ali. That does it for us. I'm out of here. Another late-night solo edition of Jays Talk featuring yours truly. Goes tomorrow night. Let's hope for a less chaotic, more positive outcome for tomorrow. We'll talk to you later.